Good morning, church. How's everybody feeling today? Well, to a church that has power and water and is definitely warmer than last week. All right, it's so good to see everybody here today. And isn't it nice to be a little bit warmer? Yeah. All right, well, let's in our minds and get ready for worship. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you as a collective church family. Thank you for Pastor Jeff and the band and just leads us. Be with them and speak through them. And we pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to what you have to say. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
It's entitled The Valleys. 4 weeks. We'll take next week off so we can enjoy our children's musical. But we're going to be looking at valleys. Real valleys that are part of your existence. Some of them are places you can visit if you would like to. We begin today by talking about the Valley of the Kings. This is where ancient pyramids meet modern tourist selfies. It's nestled on the bank of the Nile, just a stone's throw from Luxor. The Valley is the ultimate playground for history buffs and adventure seekers. There are there, and you can count them, 63 royal tombs crammed full of treasures. If you go and visit, you might feel like Indiana Jones, minus the... And if you go like weather, and if you feel a little cold today, this is the place for you. You can go there. You can experience temperatures about 100 degrees in the summertime. And so, up on the sunscreen, you want to hydrate, or unless you want to become one of the ancient relics yourself. And speaking of relics, the good stuff, most famous discovery in the Valley of Kings, the treasures of Tut, or as we like to call him, King Tut. He is the original king who made mummies cool again. His tomb was discovered in 1922, complete with a treasure trove, some would say a curse, but enough stuff to make any Egyptian car loaded with goodies. So pack your bags, get ready for adventure, and visit Tut's tomb. Oh, and by the way, this public service announcement.
Obviously, just for a moment. One of the great art exhibits ever to tour the United States is the Treasures of Tutankhamun, or King Tut. But I think it's a national disgrace the way we have commercialized it with trinkets, T-shirts, and posters. And about 3 months ago, I was up in the woods and I wrote a song. I tried to use the ancient modalities and melodies. Would like to do it for you right now. Maybe we can all learn something from this.
King Tut.
King Tut. Now when he was a young man, I thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy King. So funky. Did you do the funky?
Arizona, who is a Babylonian King Tut?
Now if I'd known they'd line up just to see him, I'd taken all my money and the museum.
King Tut.
Buried with a donkey. He's my favorite honky.
Arizona.
Born in Arizona, got a condo made of stoner. We checked. We could not find any church in the Southern Baptist Convention that showed that this morning, except us. So that was a unique experience for you. But most of you can't go visit the Valley of the Kings very easily. But the valley we look at today, oh yeah, you can visit. As a matter of fact, the valley we look at today is Shadow Valley. And believe it or not, you are very familiar with it. And so we're going to give you some very practical, real ways to experience the valleys that we go through in life. And hopefully you'll walk away understanding how important they are and how essential they are for your journey of faith. And so if you would, let's stand as we get ready to sing together this morning and worship.
Giver of every breath.
Giver of every breath that on through all eternity. Giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and earth, no one can comprehend your word. King over all the universe, to I'm alive because I'm alive in you. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers me.
Giver of every breath.
Giver of every breath that breathe. Author of all eternity. Giver of every perfect thing. To you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth. No one can comprehend your word. Thank you.
good to see you. Welcome to the church at 434. Let's continue singing together.
Blessing and honor, glory and power to the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Will every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory, and every knee will bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, Lord, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. With every tongue in heaven and earth, in your glory, and every knee will bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom reign over all the earth.
Sing unto the Ancient of Days.
For none can compare to your matchless worth.
Sing unto the Ancient of Days.
Sing every tongue. This is one of those weird weeks that song passed away this week. His name was Ron Canole. And way back when we started this thing back in the 90s, man, we dined feastily on Canole music, man. And so it was a nostalgic kind of morning for me to remember the gift of worship that he gave this place. Glad that you're here. I hope you are as well. Would you do me a favor? Would you say hello to somebody who's nearby you? Go ahead, do it.
Thank you. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise.
Today, our series called The Valley Begins, and it is in the valleys that we discover just how real God is. We've just been through a series where we've talked about becoming a grinder. In other words, taking the call of God for each of your lives seriously. Call of God to take up your cross daily and follow Him. As you take up your cross, you love God, you love others, and you will flesh out who He has called you to be. You will do good. And you will become that person that you were created to be. And we shared with you that you want joy in life. If you're going to have joy in life, discover that when you embrace the call of God to be a grinder. And that is the call that He's placed on all of our lives. Progression of that thought then is, where are we grinding it out at? Where does it happen at? Where does it take place at? The answer is in this series. And so today we start in the valleys. And this is the first of, like I said, a multi-week series. We're going to look at some valleys that we find in Scripture that really do impact your life more than maybe you realize that they do. It's an old story, but as a photographer or a reporter who had been assigned a responsibility covering what is a fire that is taking place in the valley region, very close to where he was assigned. And so they approved his request to cover the news. And so what he did is he made his way to the airport. As he got to the airport, an airplane waiting for him, and he got there and jumped out of his car, and there was a plane warming up just outside the hangar. He ran over with his bag, jumped in, looked at the pilot behind the controls and said, "Let's go." The pilot taxied out, and with a little bit of difficulty in the wind, got the plane up in the air. The reporter thought it was a little odd. Takeoff was so rough, but didn't think that much about it. So once in the air, he looked high over the valley. "Make sure you make some real low passes, as low as you can go, so I can take pictures of the fires that are there on the hillsides, and I can file for my report." And the pilot said that again. And he said, "Go and take your time, but let's get as low as we can over the valleys so I can get some footage of the fire so I can file my report." And the pilot looked at him. He said, "You mean you're not my flight instructor?" Because at the end of the day, he had climbed on board and trusted someone qualified to take him where he wanted to go. In life, we do face valleys. And we're going to be looking in Scripture, because in Scripture, as we discover these valleys, there's the source where we really do find a qualified guide of how to get us where we need to go. And so our first stop today is in the 23rd Psalm, Shadow Valley, it's called. Now, Shadow Valley, based on Psalm 23, is probably a very familiar passage of Scripture to a lot of you. It is often used in moments where you are saying goodbye to a loved one. Most of the funeral services or celebrations of life, the 23rd Psalm. It's a powerful psalm. It's a moving psalm. We're going to unpack it today so you can understand it maybe in a way that you haven't before. But it is a psalm that once you understand it, really understand it, is one that you will never forget. And because you're familiar with it, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. Usually I use the New International Version of the Bible. Today I'm going to read it from King James. A lot of you have heard it in King James, and you're familiar with it in King James. And so although my King James is a little rusty, I survived it at 9. I can do it again at 11:15. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Powerful passage, meaningful. And hopefully when you're done today, it will mean maybe just a wee bit more, because you'll see it with maybe more clarity, a little bit differently. Now, if I were to ask you the question, are you a valley girl? Or are you a valley guy? You would probably then. Here, let's see. We got.
Sorry about. All right, we got that? You okay? Okay. If I were to say, are you a valley girl or valley guy? The way you ask that question screams volumes about your life. And believe it or not, how you answer that is wildly important. I want you to know that if you're a follower of Jesus, there's only one answer to that question. Yes. See, because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a valley girl or valley guy, whether you realize it or not. But it probably doesn't mean what it means. See, because valleys are often places of hardship, but they also are places of profound encounters with God, a place where we can deepen our faith, where we can understand and we can discover, places where we become the best version of ourselves. And so today, we talk about Shadow Valley. And Scripture is referred to as the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Tough. Hard place to be. And God always has an interesting way of timing things and working things out and how they fit and how lives collide in particular passages. And I can't remember the last funeral I went to where this passage wasn't used, because it brings comfort. Today, we have someone worshiping with us who's unexpectedly lost. And so, Robert, you have our prayers, my brother. Robert let me know last night that he had to be here today. He had to be close to the family of God. So you make sure you love on him today. A little bit today, and gets here and the pastor's talking about the 23rd Psalm. I'm sorry, but hey, yeah, hopefully it'll work. But I think what you have to remember is you've got the context of this psalm. And if you've ever asked me to do a funeral, you've ever been to a funeral that I have done, you have heard me talk about this because I think it's crucial. It's worth the salt. If he has the opportunity, especially in a funeral setting, should mention this. And so if you have your Bibles, and if you got the old guard Bible, you're not using it, it'll be easier for you. But if you got the old school Bible with pages and all that kind of good stuff, and you look at the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is a valley psalm. And here's how you know. I can turn the page to the 22nd Psalm. And you read the 22nd Psalm, and there's a phrase in that psalm that sounds very familiar. My God, why have you forsaken me? The words that Jesus said on the cross. See, the 22nd Psalm is a mountain psalm, but it's a psalm that ties to Mount Calvary. And so that mountain talks about the sacrifice on Calvary for you and I. Important to understand that. You come off of the 22nd Psalm, you move into the valley, the shadow valley, valley of the shadow of death. And then turn over to the 24th Psalm. The 24th Psalm is another mountain. It refers to Mount Zion, the glorious, holy city of God, that place that we're headed to spend. Some of you are old school in church enough where you sang the song, I'm marching to Zion. The beautiful, beautiful city of Zion, the glorious city of God. You didn't know where you're going. Well, this is it. It's the mountain. And so isn't it interesting, and is it important to understand, that in the complexity and detail of God's word, that the psalm that most of the world thinks about when they think about is nestled between two mountains. The mountain where Jesus makes the sacrifice in Psalm 22. The mountain that we're headed for. We accept him. And to get from Mount Calvary to Mount Zion, you have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. See, Scripture is put together with such detail. You can't help but fall in love with it, and you can't help but see the pattern that's there. But contrary to what most people think, this is not a psalm about death. Death happens in Psalm 22. This is a psalm about what happens when you come off of that mountain and you go through the valley. This valley is about life. Sure, Shadow Valley, Valley of the Shadow of Death. But this is a psalm that is designed for people who are following God on their way to Mount Zion, that glorious city of God. And so to get from one to the other, you have to go through Shadow Valley. And so if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, hear me very carefully today. You are a valley person. You don't have an option. Opt out of this valley. This is the valley that you travel through. And it ought not to intimidate you. It ought to make you excited. Because by design, Scripture lays it out so clearly. It is a shadow of death. What do you have to have to have a shadow? You have to have sun. There has to be light. Without light, there's no shadow. And so, obviously, we are moving toward that Zion. That's where the shadows are going to come from. But there's light. And so that means that we don't have to be afraid, and we can navigate whatever shadows are there in the valley, because it is a journey that we're taking. And God has created us for. So you are a valley guy, or you are a valley girl. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing at all. And if you can remember that, that changes the way that you will read this psalm. And it changes the way that you'll understand the psalm forever. Because this is a psalm about you right now in your journey of faith. And so I want to show you three things about it. Because this is, I don't know if it's the most important, but it's one of the most important valleys we're going to visit. And so the first thing I want you to notice about it is that Shadow Valley is real. Go back and look at verse 4. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. There was a commander of a battalion of Roman soldiers that was caught in a battle, territories that map makers had not included on the map. Ancient maps were designed, and the known world was laid out and put into a map. And when they got into an area that they didn't know what was, they would just ornately put around the perimeter of the map dragons or monsters or clouds or something that was unknown, because they didn't know what was there, and so they had to kind of complete the map. And so the battalion was getting ready to go into an unknown area, and he was wanting some direction whether to forge ahead or not, and so he sent urgent word back to Rome with this request. Please send new orders. I've marched off the map. I don't know if there's a better phrase that describes my life. I have marched off the map. I mean, I've spent a great deal of my adult existence marching off the map. Because we live in a world where it's quite easy to march off the map. I mean, sometimes you take a look at the world that we live in, and we feel like we're in uncharted waters. Technology has made us feel that way in some ways. Technology is still rapidly expanding and exploding all around us. Things are happening today that weren't even possible when I was born, and I'm a child of the 60s. And yet, sometimes it feels like we've gone way innovation as we've chased things. Politically, we're off the map. Politics has changed, the upheaval that's there, the rancor, the fighting that's taking place. It's always been bad, but it seems worse than normal these days. People's ideology is more extreme. We've moved to the edges of what we like and what we don't like. And so we find ourselves in the uncharted waters, fighting things, battling things that we don't feel like we're prepared to do. How do you survive that? Life when you're moving off the map? Well, by looking at the 6 longest, shortest verses in the Bible, Psalm 23. Believe it or not, that's your guideline. Move through uncharted water. So, see, if you've ever found yourself sitting there thinking to yourself, whew, I'm in over a little bit of my head here. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Psalm 23 is for you. If you ever feel like I'm a little confused because this is brand new territory, I never here. Okay, Psalm 23 is for you. If you think to yourself sometimes, life is just moving and changing so quick, and it's just not what I expected. Psalm 23 is for you. Because you are living in Shadow Valley. And that's Because that's where you're supposed to be. Why? Because you accept Jesus and his gift of eternal life. That's Mount Calvary. He did what he needed to do on Calvary. He died so that you could. And he takes you and he begins that life as you move through Shadow Valley headed for Mount Zion. So you're not exempt from it. Matter of fact, Shadow Valley is where you're spending most of your existence once you know Jesus. It's very much on purpose. And that's why the psalm is written as it is. That's why that psalm is here. See, we think about it and we get wigged out because it says a shadow of death. Hey, may loom large, but you have to remember it's only a shadow. The shadows can't hurt you. And the great news is that if you're willing to admit that there are times in your life where you're off the map, that you feel like you are out of control and you feel like you don't know everything that's going on and you don't know what to do, here's what I can tell you. You do know what to do. Because we've been talking about it for weeks. See, even in those days when you're wanting, and even in those days when you really want God to show you something with some clarity, big picture that maybe you've never had before, and you say, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. And I understand what they're talking. They're talking, you know, directional, trajectory change, life change. They're talking about something big. But the reality is, we don't tend to get the big stuff. It comes in small bites. And so, if you don't know what to do, you do know what to do if you're a follower. What are you going to do? You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to pick up your cross, and you're going to follow him. You're going to spend the day, and you're going to take the day, and you're going to pray, and you're going to seek out God's face. You're going to be obedient. You're going to spend time in his word, and you're going to love, and you're going to impact the world. And it's not until you take that small step of what you know to do that you have a chance of finding out that bigger question that you've got. See, we bypass that process. We want for big questions, and we want them right now. But we never take the small steps of faith and obedience that we know we're supposed to take, and we get frustrated because we never get the big answers. It's a journey that you have to go on, and you can't get through it without being obedient. And you'll discover who and what you're supposed to be when you're willing to go. The second thing you need to see about the passage is this. Shadow Valley has a tour guide. Shadow Valley has a tour guide. Look at verse 4. It says this, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The imagery of the shepherd's rod and staff means by a good shepherd. And it means that his presence is with you, as the passage tells us. And so, while Shadow Valley may seem intimidating, and it is very real, you're not going, you have a tour guide. And in the shadow of death, we find that God's presence is the light that will dispel all of our fears, every one of them. I want you to do something for me. I want you to take your fingers and hold it two fingers. Okay? And then I want you to cross your fingers. Boom. Got it? Have I got the fingers crossed? Have I got to do that? And maybe you're not capable of doing that. Then don't worry about it. Just look at the illustration. Everybody got it? Let me see it. You guys are doing really good. All right. I thought you know how to do it. You got the skill set. That's good. See? Look at it. Some of you can do it two hands at one time. It's amazing. In our culture, we call that crossing our fingers, right? Cross your fingers. Yeah. But last night, I was watching the Cardiac Wildcats play once again, come from behind, win a basketball game. Game went late, so if I slur words this morning, that's why. I was up too late watching the basketball game. Tight, and they were coming back, and I found myself sitting in the recliner watching the game with my fingers crossed like this. Now, you know what that means, right? What does that mean? It's a little bit of hope, a little bit of luck, right? Luck, I want luck, I want luck. I'm sitting there just watching. Come on. It was a dumb thing to do. You know why Jesus doesn't? He never has. Why would he? He's God. But we do that. We understand what that means in our culture. That means luck, a little bit of hope. Let's say we're talking, and I'm talking to you. Let's say we're having a face-to-face conversation in the valley. But let's say I'm talking to you, but while I'm talking, I do this with my fingers behind my back. And now we're just going to talk. And I'm going to nod, I'm going to agree, I'm going to make you promises. But at the end of the day, I'm doing this. What does that mean? I am lying. I'm hedging my bets because we think there's something magical and mystical about crossing your fingers. Well, I crossed my fingers. That's not true. I mean, you can't hold me to that. I had my fingers crossed the whole time I was talking about it. And so we go from to lying and not wanting to get caught. But believe it or not, back in the first century, persecuted. It was an aggressive, ferocious persecution. And if the Roman government or Jewish leaders found out that you were a follower of the way or follower of the cross, follower of this Christ, they could rat you out. They could arrest you. Worst case circumstances, you could be executed. It could cost you your family, your wealth, all that you live for. If you were having a conversation with someone, you might be in that conversation, and as they're ending the conversation and saying goodbye, they might do this. Because early Christians decided that they needed a hand signal, a secret code, if you will, to communicate that they were followers of the cross, the way. You saw it, and you too were a follower of the cross, you would respond back. And in that moment, you would know that you were talking to a fellow believer. If they didn't respond back, they just think you had something going on with your fingers. And that became a hand signal. So if you don't remember anything else today, this is what you'll remember. Fingers being crossed was invented by first century Christians. That's where it kind of stepped into the limelight of being mainstream. Now, since that time, of course, it's been used for luck and for lying, but it really was a sign of life. You have to understand that in our world, in our life, Jesus' death on the cross is what gave us life. The man's name is Ross Chido. He is director of emergency Beaver County, Pennsylvania. He was the person in charge of picking up body parts from the 132 people who died in the ill-fated USA Flight 427. It crashed on its way from Chicago to Pittsburgh. When he was asked what it was like to pick up those bodies that were so badly damaged, he confessed the sight that affected him first was when he came upon a person who was still strapped in their seat, sitting there with both hands, with fingers crossed in their lap. It was an image I could never get out of my mind, because they were hoping for a stroke of luck that would keep them alive. At the end, that symbol was invented by Christians. And indeed, it is a symbol of life. Life. See, a lot of people try to get through life. They want a little bit of luck. A little bit of luck will get them through life. And there are a lot of people who have decided that that's how they're going to roll. That's how they're going to face life. And they're going to trust luck to get them through. Some people, they believe that Scripture's not true. And they spend their lives just stumbling over what they believe to be a lie. And they miss the reality of what God has done. Who are wise enough to follow the tour guide, discover that it really is a symbol of life. And it means together we don't have to worry about it being a lie, and we don't have to worry about to luck, because we have a tour guide that gets us where we need to go. See, in the valley, we don't have to sweat the journey that we're on, because the one who is guiding us through knows the way to go. And so this passage really is a passage about life. And it's a passage that all of us have to deal with, because that's the journey that we're on. The thing I want you to see is this. Shadow Valley is also life-changing. Verse 5 says this, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, you don't just survive in Shadow Valley. In Shadow Valley, you thrive. In the valley, we don't just endure, but we're equipped. We're empowered for what lies ahead. And you should take encouragement in that. Because think about the implications of what this means. It means that as we move through Shadow Valley, there's going to be some that don't. Here's what I can promise you. If you choose to follow Jesus, you're going to run into people who don't like that choice you've made and want to argue about that and maybe even want to persecute you about that just a little bit. And yet think about what this promises. When you're moving through the shadow, that even in the presence of your enemies, the King, the Creator of the universe, is putting a feast out on a table so you can eat in the presence of your enemies. So even when your enemies are hating you as much as they hate you, even when they are wanting to hurt you as much as they do, you are seated at a table eating a gourmet feast. And you know what? That makes them even angrier. Because you are now sitting at the table of the King, as a child of the King. And you're getting to feast upon the goodness, the bounty, and the blessings of God. There's nothing like it. You get to have on a regular basis because you're moving through Shadow Valley. Matter of fact, men, tonight, we're going to share a meal together. 6:22, you need to be here. 6:30, it is our men and boys Super Bowl party. And we want you to be here tonight. We want you to be a part of it. It's going to be fun. Some of you noticed in the back of the room that monstrosity that's sitting back there leaning against the wall. See, we were, well, are you going to watch the NFL halftime show and see if Bad Bunny really puts on a dress? The answer is no, we're not. I mean, Bad Bunny may or may not put on a dress. He's made some really and Bad Bunny, you expect Bad Bunny to do that. You know why? Because he's a bad bunny. But some have also said, are you going to watch the TPUSA alternate? We're not going to do that either. There's nobody there I want to see. And so what we're going to do, when halftime comes, we're just going to leave the TVs on, turn the volume down, and we're going to settle in front of this monstrosity. This creation of chaos is where we will determine how strong you really are. See, tonight, the men's Super Bowl party, boys will become men. Men will become legends. And legends will leave legacies. And it starts here. Because as you can see on this ladder, there are soup bowls. And so tonight at halftime, we will crown the King of the 434 Super Bowl Challenge. Everyone gets a chance to participate. Everyone will get the opportunity to prove their manliness. And when we're done with this tonight, we will know who the King of the Super is. You say, well, if I come, what do I need to do? You need to bring food because it's really all about the food. There's no cost of admission to play this game except the food you bring. When you say, well, I win. What do you get if you win? You get cash. Cash. We're giving cash prizes tonight. We're not even Catholic. Hey, bingo. And so we are going to put the cash in a soup bowl, present it to you, take a picture of it, and you will be the Super Bowl champion. Doesn't matter. Your enemies, you'll be champion. And see, for us as followers, we get so much more than that in Shadow Valley. That was a long commercial. Be here tonight. But for Shadow Valley, chance to know that the valley, it's not a prison. It's a passage to the promise of his presence. And I, We, as followers, are given that valley to travel through as a gift from God. For you history buffs in the room, you know that the Continental Divide runs and starts in Alaska and can be traced all the way through down to the tip of South America. If you were to 48 states, United States, and try to track it, you would find out that the Continental Divide begins in the northwest corner of Montana. It rolls through the Rocky Mountains. It goes to the southwest tip of New Mexico. What you may or may not know historically is that it is the watershed of the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean, meaning that on either side of the Continental Divide, that determines which direction the water will flow toward which coast of the United States of America. So in theory, if a drop of rain were to fall and hit the Continental Divide, it will either then go down through the valleys and head toward the Pacific Ocean, or if it moves over less than 1 foot, that drop of water, in theory, will run down, eventually hit the Mississippi Valley, Mississippi River, end up in the Gulf of Mexico, which then will end up in the Atlantic Ocean. The funny thing about it, both drops are very much the same when they start, but their destiny is determined by which to. And so hear me very carefully when I say this. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't get the luxury of moving with the shadow of death. Because to take the journey that puts you in Shadow Valley, there's only one starting place, Mount Calvary. Start in Mount Calvary, and you will move off Mount Calvary into the valley that moves you to Mount Zion. If you choose to reject Jesus, if you choose to reject the things of God, if you really do believe it's a lie and it's true and you don't believe what the Bible says and you don't believe the complexity of it and how it's put together with the detail that it is, then you can simply say, I bypass the shadow. I bypass Shadow Valley. And then making that decision, this is a decision, and it's terrifying. If you choose to bypass Shadow Valley, you're basically saying, I want to take the full brunt of death, like a collision. I want all that it can do. I want it to pack its wallop. I want it to run over and destroy me, because that is what death will do. And that is your choice. The great news, and it is great news, nobody gets hurt by a shadow. Shadows can't hurt you. And if there's a shadow, source of light, and we find out in God's word that source of light is Him, Jesus said, I am light. And so, you don't have a valley. You say, I don't want it. I don't want to see it. And what you're saying is something that's far, far more terrifying than any shadow you'd ever meet. You're basically telling death you want to take it full bore. It will destroy you. Because you're not in the valley where you need to be. The question I asked you earlier, are you a valley girl? Are you a valley guy? The answer is yes. You want to be. And you want to be living your life there. Because it is in Shadow Valley. And it is only in Shadow Valley that we have life. Outside of it, you're already dead. You just don't know it yet. Choose life. Choose Shadow Valley. Pray together. Heavenly Father, our lives are a series of choices. Choices that we get the privilege of making because you've given life. Another day to breathe, another day to take this trip, this orbit on planet Earth, and discover whatever it is that's in front of us that you've put in front of us for this day. But it is our choice. And there are some who, for whatever reason, have just chosen your word and not willing to believe and trust and follow you. And as a result, they've made a choice to bypass Shadow Valley. And instead, they've chosen something that is far more terrifying and just as permanent. And they've chosen to face death head on. It's not what we were designed to do. It's not the way it was intended to be. It's not what you created us for. And yet, in our stubbornness, our ignorance, our bullheadedness, we choose it. So my prayer this day is for anyone who has not made the decision to believe, trust, and follow you, that this would be their day that they would decide to do so. That this would be the day that they would choose accept your gift of eternal life, that they would begin their journey on Mount Calvary, that cross where you died, and understand that you came from that cross and you went into a tomb and came back to life to give to us a gift. You had told us it was coming. Even the psalmist gave us glimpses and hints of what was to come years before we're ever here on earth. And it's our choice, our decision. If there's someone in this room who's never made the decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus, our worship flyer has a little checkbox on it that says, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. Say we just take that, check that box, give us her name, put in our giving kiosk on the way out the door, and give us a chance to follow up with them how that decision can be made. If they're watching online, live right now, or on demand later, there's an email address that's on the screen. They would just send us an email and say, oh, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. Chance to follow up with them and contact them, send them some things that will help them in their journey, but also encourage them to find a place that they can connect and Lord, there are many in this room who have already made the decision to follow you. We've already accepted your gift of eternal life. And while we're to eternal life, if we were to be honest, we're not living an abundant life. Because we're still trying to do it our way. We're trying to pick and choose what it means to follow, what it looks like. And so the abundant life seems to be elusive, and we can't seem to find it. Today, help us understand as we take this step into the valleys that the abundant life that you created us for can't be found outside of Shadow Valley. It's a journey we all have to take. We're not alone. You're with us each step of the way. You are a tour guide who knows where we're going. You will help us to see and discover exactly what it is that we are missing in our lives, that we need in our lives, and it will bring us the joy of knowing the fullness of you. It's our prayer this day that we would not settle for anything less. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand?
But it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise. and treasures that fade are enough. And you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, failures and flaws. Lord, you see them all and still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain, the God of the valley, there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing is better than.
Turn praise into garden. You
As you walk out the door this morning and you want to dig a little bit deeper into the study we just did, there is a study guide out there that is designed to dig deeper into Psalm 23. Although it's familiar, maybe, just maybe, there's some things that you can still discover about it that might encourage you and help you in your walk. Also, if you're looking for ways to apply what you heard this morning, practical ways, tomorrow, as you're living your life, our Now What is actually printed out there. It's called Memories of Shadow Valley, memories that you can take as your trip through Shadow Valley ends today that you can apply in your life week ahead. Next week, we take a break, a pit stop, if you will, through the Valley Tour for a musical. Our kids will be leading us in worship, and it's one of the most exciting times of the year. They'll be leading us in worship, and both worship 9 and 11:15. Come once, come often. It's always fun. Also, if you want to help our kids raise money to go to camp, we are having a brunch where they'll be performing the musical on Saturday at 10 a.m. Be there. They'll be selling tickets out front on the way out the door. You need to come. It's going to be good food. It's going to be a great time and a great time to just watch the kids lead and worship. And it's going to be a time that you will remember. So while it is a pit, it's not a rest area. And you will be able to experience God in a very powerful way. And so we want you to be here for that. Also, men, tonight, join us this evening. 6:22 is when you need to be here. Bring food. A lot of food. And get ready for the epic battle that will take place at halftime. Speaking of epic battles, Chris, you going to pray us out of here?
I'll do it.
Okay. Straight from the hot feet, Chris Whaley.
Tell you two things that disappoint me, and I'll end on a positive note. One of them is customer service. I hate calling customers, and they say, press 1 for English, and you do that, and they switch you to somebody who cannot speak English, you know. Very disappointing. The second thing is when you stay in a hotel, and they tell you we have an 11 o'clock checkout time. Well, I'm not going to laze around and all, and I'm going to be ready, but I still feel hurried, you know, at 11 o'clock. Let me tell you the good news. Ready? I told you, in on a positive note. It says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and there is no 11 o'clock checkout time. All right? All right. Let me pray this. Lord, thank you for today. Encouragement of your word. And thank you for the great hope of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.